The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Change. And it's difficult for us to change. We, you know, you get a comfortable pair of shoes, you don't want to change them. You want to keep those shoes. You know, you get a comfortable bed or something, you want to keep it. And we get a comfortable life, and we want to keep it. It's hard for us to move out of our comfort zone. But things happen in life. I've learned one thing in life. I've learned this. Don't get too comfortable where you are, because things are going to change. They change all the time, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. But how do we live with these changes? And so the scripture that I chose for a little mini-series here, let me get my little thing turned on, is from Ephesians. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel. Well, that was you, Ms. Rose. Excluded, all right? And we were foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You see, it's impossible to deal with the onslaught of changes that we all deal with on a daily basis in the natural. But in Christ, we have the means to overcome things that happen. And I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago about the reality of it all. You know, some things are not going to change. I mean, when you have a major change that comes in your life, I told you, I'm going to die with one arm. I know a lot of people have prayed for me for my arm to grow back. I tell everyone who wants to do that, you can pray for me. I'm all in. But I'm really ambivalent about it. I'm going to heaven one way or the other, with one arm or two arms or no arms, all right? But that's the reality that I live with. Many of you live with those realities. But it doesn't mean that the reality overshadows us. We overcome the reality of things. So we spoke about that, and today I want to address the idea of us learning to be survivors. You know, how can we survive? And so, learning survivor reality. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. This is Paul. We learned so much from this great man of God. He said, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. That's a powerful, powerful scripture for us to look at. I hear people saying all the time, going through this will build your character. Things like, it could have been worse. Put it all behind you and move on. Those are platitudes, you know. And platitudes don't help you when you're in the midst of the fire. You know, what you need is help. And the greatest help is the Word of God. Survivors know two things that other people don't know. This is what they know. They know how to survive. And they know that others don't know what they know. Not everybody's going to understand you and what you're going through. And you need to come to that reality, that realization. Not everybody's going to be empathetic, understand, or be help for you. Sadly, we go to, when change comes and we're in the midst of it, sometimes we go to the wrong people for help. You know? If somebody's having their own set of problems. They're not going to find a way to solve your set of problems. You need to find a problem solver, somebody who can give you good wisdom and understanding. They can't make it go away, but they can give you good tools, spiritual tools, to help you get through it. And that's what we need. I don't mean to be harsh, but I want to say something that I think we all need to hear. We need to be willing to take good spiritual advice and to act on it. It's not enough to hear it. Sometimes you got to move. You got to embrace it. You know, if somebody gives you and says, here's the scripture for you. I believe that God wants you to hear and to and say, go to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Well, don't just walk away from that conversation and don't do it. Go to Philippians 4, 6, and 7 and pray about it and meditate it and see what it is that God wants to say to you through that scripture. And if you've got, if that came from a spiritual person, or somebody that that's got a track record, listen to them and then act on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because many times we don't. You know, we just go on and kind of stay in our little pity party of where we are instead of getting out of it. And I don't mean that to be derogatory. I mean because it's hard, and the way out is a spiritual way out of it. Survival is experienced and learned. I thought about some examples that might help you. You remember the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks? What was interesting about the transformation in that movie was that when the plane crashed and he ended up on that deserted island, I mean, he was out of shape. He was fat. He didn't know nothing, you might remember. He was trying to catch fish so he could eat and splashing around in the shallow water. He couldn't catch anything. I mean, it was terrible. But as he was there for several years, that the movie progresses and it gives you a kind of a time change, and you see him. Man, he is trimmed. He's looking good. He's got a spear that he made up with a piece of a thing that he salvaged from the wreck. I believe it was an ice skate, and he had used it and made a tip on it, sharpened it, and he was walking around. Boy, bam, he got one fish. I mean, just like that. So we had learned. So we learned to be survivors. All right? It's a thing, and I'm going to talk to you in some more detail about that. More recently, one of my favorite movies is The Martian with Matt Damon, I believe it was. He was all alone, stranded on Mars. You talk about a bad day. You know, your Goombas had left. They took off. If you didn't see the movie, you won't understand the whole plot. But he was deserted there. No communications with the outside world. And he managed to survive. And at the end of the movie, there's a very poignant scene when he's been rescued and he's back on Earth. And he's training some new astronauts who are going to go into space. And he said, when everything goes wrong, he said, it will. It will. Things are not expected. When it wills, when it happens, he said, you can do one of two things. You can die or you can survive. And the way you survive is you work the problem. Work the problem. You got a problem? Work on it. It's not going to disappear just because you wanted to. You know, you need to work it and find a way. That somebody said, what doesn't kill you will make you better. And in many ways, that's true, you know. But survivors learn. Paul said this in this passage of Scripture. He said, I have learned, so it's a learning process. Let me get my little button here. I have learned, and he learned a secret. It's a secret. Why is it a secret? Because a lot of people won't dig it out. Try to find it. It's not that it's hidden. It's right in plain view. It's the things of God. He said, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Let me back up here because there's another thing I want you to see. Right here. Up here he said this twice, by the way. He said, I've learned. And then he repeated it again. And he said, I know. I know. Survivors know. When you go through it, when you've been through the crucible of a difficult change, and you've come out as a survivor, you know, and that knowledge is wisdom that can be passed on to other people to help them. All right? So he said, I've learned, I know, and at the end of this, he said, I can do it. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I can do it in Christ. So Jesus is the answer to every situation that we're going through. There's a time for tears. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to be angry. There's a time to be depressed. But there's a time of coming out of it and becoming a survivor. There's a time where we're saying, you know, this may be the new reality, but I will not let this keep me down, because in Christ I can learn, I can know, I can do this. So take courage. This is a great scripture, and I really encourage you to ponder it. So let's talk about learn and survive in a little bit more detail. Learning survival requires a plan. I want to go to one of my favorite guys, Joshua. Joshua is a mighty man of God. He didn't start out that way, but that's where he ended up. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide. Now who is Joshua? He's Moses' aide. All right? Moses, my servant, is dead. This is God speaking. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Got a little video Jim found for me that I want you to see. And Jim, if you'll just, it's about a minute and a half long. So just crank it up, and we'll go from there.
What if we were to take a step back and put things into perspective? We all have responsibilities. We have schedules and daily agendas. They require a plan, a scheme or method of action laid out in advance. But these plans, they begin to own us, to dictate our lives, how we spend our time. They begin filling up our lives with things that we deem important, things that define who we are. But what about you? What's making up your agenda? What's your plan? Because there's a creator who knows you, loves you, and has a plan and a purpose for why you're here. He knows you so well that he even knows the number of hairs on your head. So why not give the agenda of your life to the one who's already made it?
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope. We might have plans, but our plans are not anything without God being in it. You know, there's a little saying that was going around for a while, and still around, you know, about God. You know, what would Jesus do in this situation? And that's actually a good question. Jim, you want to get the lights? To ask, what would Jesus do? And to add to that, Jesus, what would you have me to do? You know, it's a cooperation. It's working together with God. Lord, what would you do? What would you have me to do? You must know what to do next. Every journey begins with that first step. And the way out of a difficult situation is taking the first step out of it. So what is the first step? What is the first thing that we need to do? First thing we need to do is come to the realization that God is the answer to our problem, and that he will give us the plan that we need. Let me tell you what. When we read that scripture and we just kind of read it, and it's interesting. It gives us information. But when Moses died, that was a big deal. The death of Moses. And then God says to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead." That's the fact, Jack. You know, he's not there. But here's the thing. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan. Get ready to cross the Jordan. He goes on, he says, "I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses." So get ready to get out. Start thinking, I'm going to get out of this mess. But it won't overcome me. I was listening to David Jeremiah talking. He was talking about Daniel being put into the den of lions. And it's kind of interesting. You know stories, but you know, have it refreshed. When the king put him in there and sealed it, and he knew that was the end of this guy that he didn't want to put in there, and he comes the next morning and he said, "Daniel, are you alive? Are you okay?" And Daniel said, "Don't worry about me, I'm fine." He said, "God, shut the mouth of the lion." See, Daniel was safer in the den of lions with God than he was outside the den. You're safer and better off with God wherever you are. And the truth is that God is with you. He never leaves you. He never deserts you. You will never wake up one day and say, "God isn't with me." So the first thing we need to do is come to the realization that God will never desert us. When everything around you screams that you are going down, remember that God never deserts us. There's a story in the heroines of my life, Corrie Ten Boom, when she was in that concentration camp, and the place was infected with lice. Now, we don't have much of that anymore. I think as a society, we've kind of learned how to deal with it. When I was a kid, it was a little bit more prevalent. But she said the lice were all over, and you couldn't stop scratching. They were biting, they were scratching. And it looked that people were crying out to get away from these lice. But Corrie realized something. The guards wouldn't go into where they were because they hated the lice and they didn't want to get it. So you know what happened? Corrie had all the time in the world to speak to her. She had a little Bible that she had smuggled in and to teach the Word of God inside that concentration camp. And she said those lice were one of the best things that had ever happened in her life. See, what looks like the worst thing can turn around and be the best thing. But Corrie, instead of complaining about the lice, took advantage of the situation. This wasn't said in a spiritual context, but I'm going to make it a spiritual context. Never let a good crisis go to waste. I can't remember the guy's name. He worked in the Obama administration. Somebody help me. He was the Attorney General. Robbie Emanuel, yeah. And he said, never let a good crisis go to waste. I think spiritually that's good advice. When a crisis comes, don't let it go to waste. Use it for the kingdom of God. Use it for yourself, you know. Build on that. Survivors train and have a plan to survive. What is your plan to survive? Johnny Taylor, as you know, has worked in the oil and gas business and wrote procedures to everything in a refinery has a procedure. From walking in the door to turning out the light switch, there's a procedure. And if you do it right, everything works well. You do it wrong, people die. All right, that's what happened on the horizon. People did things wrong. They didn't follow the procedures. There were procedures, and they broke the procedures. The same way, we should have procedures in our spiritual life. What are we going to do when a crisis happens? Deal with the moment. But the plan is to get to God just as quickly as you can. if you've just been run over by a truck, it's a good thing to cry, Jesus, and then get out from under the truck. All right? The plan is to get away from danger. Don't stay there. I was listening to Dr. Jeffries, pastor of First Baptist Church, and he told a story about a guy who was on a plane, and the plane crash-landed. Everything was fine. They were coming in, no indication of a problem. When it hit the ground, evidently the wheels collapsed. The plane skid, caught on fire. And the guy was in first class, and the front of the plane was in flames. And so he tried to go to the back of the plane, and he couldn't get out. Smoke was filling the cabin. People were screaming, trampling each other. He got low so he could breathe, and he was getting trampled. And he realized that he had to do something different. So he turned around and went back into where he was in first class. And there was no obvious way out. But he saw a crack in the wall. And he reached over and he pulled on the crack. And it was the door that led to the galley or someplace. And when he pulled that away, the whole side of the plane was gone. There was nothing there but clean air. Said he stuck his head out, got a good breath of air, and then just jumped out 10 or 12 feet and walked away from the plane crash. And the point of the story is you can't stay where you are. You got to do something, have a plan, and the plan is to do something. And you'll just have to know what to do at the time when it comes up. We trust God that change is going to be okay. Moses is dead. And God's plan was, Joshua, you're taking over. And that may be the thing. God may be giving you a promotion sometime, and you don't realize it. You think it's the end of the world, but it's a promotion coming up. And some good things are going to happen. We trust God that today and tomorrow, if there is a tomorrow, are in his hands. And he knows about you. I said he's with you. He knows where you are. And your survival depends on that. If you turn away from God, I can promise you, you're going to crash and burn. And I would be, I'd be lying if I said that there are times we're disappointed in God. I heard a guy say one time, he said he was praying and some people were going through a disaster. He said, I'm surprised you got any friends at all the way you treat your people sometimes. Now, that's an honest statement. I wouldn't say it, but, you know, go read the Psalms and see what David and the psalmist went through. They went through hell, you know, hard times. Where are you, God? How come I don't see you? But virtually every psalm that I've read that I can remember, it starts off with, in desperation, but it ends up, God, I trust you. I trust you. And that's where we need to be. You know, it's okay to be upset, but there comes a moment in time where you got to say, you know, Moses is dead, but I'm going on. God's got a plan for me. Trust God. Trust God that he's promised, that what he promised, he'll do. He said to Moses that the Israelites would go into the promised land. And he told Joshua, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. What God said is going to happen. You know? If he said he'll deliver you, he'll deliver you. Will it look the same on the other side? No. Things are different in Egypt than they were in the promised land. Actually, it's the land of promises, what it really was. Land filled with promises. So, agree with God's word. Know it and follow it. That little video we showed, the guy was, you know, took the heart of God and put it in his folder, and then he took the word of God and put it in his folder. So we know God loves us, and then we know what God's plan is. I've asked this question all the time, more times than I could ever count. I've been asked this question: what does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? And this is what my answer: read the Bible. Do everything he says to do in here, and when you run out of things to do, come back and see me. Just do what's in the Bible. If you do those things, you'll be okay. And you'll have a life filled with victory, a life filled surviving the hard times. Paul said, I've been through stuff. I know what it is to have plenty, and I know what it is to be in want. But I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. Are you there yet? Are you there? I have to remind myself about this a lot of times, and so I'm going to let you remind you about it. Your life is not stagnant, and the things that you're depending on today to give you joy may be gone tomorrow. But your relationship with God will never be gone. And don't let things, bank accounts, health, people, don't let that be your source of joy, but let God be your source of joy. The scripture says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. So how do you rise up from the ashes? How do you stand up on your feet? How do you get back up? You get up by knowing God and knowing what He said. Now, some of you may be saying, well, you know, I know all that stuff, Pastor. How's it working for you? Is it working for you? If it's working for you, praise God, you've learned something. And if it's not working for you, go back to the drawing board and ask God and look again. Seek more wisdom and information from Him. I tell you, this is a cardinal thing to do, but one of the best ways I know to get you encouraged and get your mind refocused again is go read or look at the movie The Shack. That movie deals with horrible things that went on and tells the revelation of how God can take you through those things. So that's just a little thing that would help tremendously. My dad used to say all the time, I used to cry because I didn't have any shoes until I met a man who had no feet. That's what my dad's favorite saying. He used to say that all the time. So know God's word, follow it, practice right living while the sun is shining. It's hard to do it when it's raining, but when the sun is shining, learn and practice doing the right things. I know Danny and Nick, who are two gun aficionados, are going to give me an amen when I say this. Doesn't do you any good to have a gun if you haven't practiced how to use it. And you better practice all the time because it's a skill that you lose. Am I telling you the truth? If you don't stay on it, you'll miss it. I know each of you had this experience. You've gone out and you're doing some great shooting. Then something came up in your life and you couldn't go out for maybe a month or maybe 2 months. And you go back out and you find out, dang, what happened to me? What happened to you? You weren't practicing what you know. But you get practicing and your memory skills come back. The things that you know catch up with you and then you're shooting good again. Well, that's just an example of life. You know, learning and doing the right things will let you be a survivor. Get ready. Pray like everything depends on God. Plan like everything depends on you. And I'll put it in my notes. Pack your own parachute. Pack your own parachute, not somebody else's parachute. If I'm jumping out of the plane, one of the things I want to be sure of is that parachute is packed right. I'd rather pack it myself. That way I know it's done right, if I know how to do that. Assuming I know how to do it. Pack your own spiritual parachute and then watch what God can do in the hour of need. Amen? Does that make sense to you? Does that make some sense to you? Okay. Learning how to be a survivor. Oops. Learning survival requires courage. Joshua 1, 5, and 6. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Wow. The elements of the world are against you. You are a target whether you want to be or not. A lot of things that happen to us are spiritual. Our enemy, assails us. Jesus told the disciples, he said, Satan desires to sift you like wheat, to sift you. And many things that happen to us can be avoided and we can survive if we come to the realization we're not fighting flesh and blood, but we're fighting a spiritual warfare, and we need to know how to be able to do that. Very simple thing. Learn how to dress yourself in the full armor of God. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but do you know the full armor of God? Do you know what it is? Do you know all the pieces? Do you know how to put them on? Do you know how to pray and put them on? I can't tell you how many times in any given week that I do that myself, because I need that helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. I need the belt of truth. I need my feet shod with the gospel. I need the shield of faith, and I need the word of God, which is the sword of the Lord. I need that. And when we dress that way, I always see myself looking fierce. You see some of these military guys, some of these Navy SEALs, and some of the other guys, they are fierce looking. I wouldn't want to tell them anything, good or bad, because they might not like it and do you in. Well, spiritually, we're that way to the enemy. When we're dressed with the full armor of God, we're using the shield of faith to ward off all the fiery darts that they're throwing at us, and we're wielding the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God. That's what Jesus did when he came out of the wilderness. That's what he did. He used the word of God. He said, it is written, it is written. Why? What's the message? The message is, it is written, proclaim it and believe it. Amen? We got another short video for you about courage. Jim, you got that ready?
Do you ever feel more like an observer of your life instead of actually being engaged in living it? Things can change at the most random time, trust me. You see, I love cashew chicken. For the last 10 years, I've eaten at the same restaurant, same dish, every week. It comes with this wonderful brown sauce. It's tossed with succulent tender pieces of chicken, crispy crunchy celery, party in your mouth, supple mushrooms, and then right there, bam, in the middle, corrupting the whole serenity of my dish are these ugly bell peppers, taunting me each and every time I sit down to eat. The first few times, I just tried to mix them in with the other ingredients I loved, but something about the combination rebelled against my palate. So I did what any responsible, mature eater would do. For the next 10 years, I manned up. The dish would come out the same way every time, with the peppers crashing the party, so I surmised a new consumption strategy. I ate the peppers first. One by one, I sought them out, forced them from their hiding spots, and ate them in isolation, in the dark, being crunched, all alone. Oh, it gave me a tiny, sinister pleasure, though their bitter taste always mocked me. But all that was about to change this week when I overheard a lady at the table next to mine order my dish.
Cashew chicken, please.
A small part of my heart was saddened for her because I was well acquainted with the dilemma she would soon find herself in when the dish arrived. But she didn't stop there.
Hold the peppers, please.
What? What is she doing? I was in shock. I finished my soup and I waited. Would the waiter berate her for her insult to the cook? Or worse yet, would the cook come out and stomp on her fortune cookie and then storm out, huh? To my surprise, nothing happened. I felt as though I just walked out of the tumbling cycle of a dryer. In a matter of moments, our dishes arrived. To add insult to injury, the waiter accidentally started to give her my dish, but then realized it had the peppers on it. So he turned around and handed it to me with those vile words.
This one's yours with the peppers.
I resented her dish as I miserably pushed my peppers around and commenced to eating them first as usual. But then I had a moment of clarity. I replayed what had just happened again. She simply asked to have the dish with no peppers, and the cook just did it. I'd gotten so used to the peppers being there that I never thought to just simply ask. God was speaking to me in the middle of my Chinese food. In fact, that's what my life has become for me these days. lulled into believing in life you get what you're given. And sometimes that means the good with the not so good. We get so accustomed to accepting things as they are that prayer, faith, and hope are suffocated. We can't even find the courage to dream that things could be different if we simply would ask. And so we don't. Month after month, year after year, living with the miserable job, the pain, the fractured relationships, the loneliness. All the while, we have a heavenly chef, I mean Father, that doesn't take orders, but probably says often, "You have not because you ask not."
Get the picture? Yeah. Dr. Jeffries, by the way, if you'd like to watch good preachers, watch Dr. Robert Jeffries from First Baptist Church in Dallas. He wrote a book called Courageous, and that's a good topic. Now, I haven't read the book, but on his TV program, he was promoting the book, and he was showing a couple of the chapters that were in the book, and it caught my attention. And the first chapter is don't panic. Just don't panic. That's easy to say, don't panic. But when you're in a panic situation, you know, there is some panic that's going to take place. That guy in the plane was panicking, but he didn't stop thinking. You know, learn how to think in a panic. Pat hates when I tell a story, but I'm going to tell the story anyway. We used to have a cat. I'm not a cat person, but Tiffany wanted a cat. She was a little girl, so we had a cat. And we've always had dogs. So what do you put on a dog? You put a flea collar on a dog, right? So we put a flea collar on a cat. Cats don't like flea collars. This cat would always take its little paw and put it underneath that collar and try its best to get that flea collar off. And he couldn't do it. Well, one day, the cat managed to get it far enough away that it got in his mouth. And he's not happy. He's gagging and he's screaming. And it's a bad situation. So I ran over, I grabbed the cat, and I'm trying to get this off. Those things are thick. You can't unbuckle them. I mean, the cat's not cooperating. He's got all four legs up, all claws out, and he's ripping my hands and my arm. And Pat comes over and says, "Get a scissors or something and cut this one." And she goes and gets it. I said, "Hold the cat while I do that." So she's holding the cat, and, you know, I'm working on this thing. I mean, it's a panic situation. And she says, "I can't do it." And she turned loose.
You know the story, y'all.
No, I'm telling it my way.
You're holding the cat, and I'm cut.
But you quit. And what did I say? I said, "Patsy, you can't quit. We got to get this. Your cat's going to die." And she came back and worked on it, and we got it cat free. Never put another flea collar on a cat. I mean, we knew that. But the point is, you can't quit. You just can't give up, even if you're in a panic situation. So I'm probably going to get this book because I want to see what he has to say in detail. The second chapter is trust your training. You've been trained. You've been in church, you know, many of you for virtually your whole adult lives. And you've learned a lot of things. You've been heard a lot of sermons. You've taken a lot of notes. You've been exposed to things. Trust your learning. Trust what you've learned. Trust God. Say, "I'm going to trust what I know." Don't worry about what you don't know. It's what you know. Now, if your coffers are empty, if your brain, spiritual brain cells have disappeared, then you need to go back and learn some things. Because you need to trust your training. Learn from the past. Other things you've been through. Say, "God took me..." David said that. He said this when he went to the Philistine against Goliath. He said, "The God who delivered me from the bear and from the lion will deliver me from you." See that track? Remember those things. Remember what you've been through. God took me through that. He'll take me through this. And that's trusting the past. And then the next chapter he talked about is do the next right thing. The next right thing. Do something right. Maybe just praying. Maybe changing the circumstances, the situation. If you're in a fire, move away from the fire. Get as far away from it as you can. Do something, but don't stay where you are. Do the next right thing. As the Martian movie said, work the problem. You can't solve it all in one moment, but you can start moving in the direction of getting things done. Survivor's courage is divine in God. You get courage from God to go on. Moses faced Pharaoh. Now, let me tell you, I know people, I've been around, and I know people get anxious and scared, and we all face it. Moses was afraid, but he went anyway. He took a step, and he did what he knew how to do, and we all know the rest of the story. David, I just told you, faced Goliath. He did what he knew to do. In fact, they tried to give him a new trick, and he didn't take it. The new trick was to put on Saul's armor. Don't try using somebody else's solution. Use a solution that you know, that's worked for you in the past. You can learn new things, but not in the crucible of change. But in the crucible, trust the things that you know. David said, I can't work with this. Let me work with what I know. Just give me a slingshot and some rocks. And the rest of the story, as they say, is history. Gideon went through the same thing. Gideon was afraid. He didn't know what to do. He tried doing things that he thought would work, but God told him, don't do it that way. This is what I want you to do. He was listening to God, and as you know, the victory was there. God is with you. I like the last part of this. Well, not the last part, right up here, where it says, now, God sent, I'm parenthetically adding this. God says, Joshua, I know you're afraid. I know this is going to change. And then Moses is dead. You've been trusting in him. You've been working with him for 40 years out in the desert. So he said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You ought to etch that in wood or get a plaque, put it someplace and never forget it. As God was with Moses, he'd be with Joshua. As God was with Joshua, he'll be with you. God will be with you. And he says, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. He's always there. Even when you can't see him, he's always there. Okay? All right, one more thing. Learning survival requires resolve. It wasn't very long after I got saved that I went to a conference in Colorado Springs with the Navigators, you know, the parachurch organization. And they taught me to memorize scripture. I'd never memorized scripture before. I couldn't remember. I am not a person who memorizes, but I started memorizing. And one of the scriptures they got me to memorize was this one right here. This book of the law, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Now, if he's talking about the law, he's talking about the scriptures in the application we have here. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You need to resolve, like Joshua, that God is with you and to trust his word and to meditate on his word, to know his word. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it both day and night. For then your way will be made prosperous and you'll have good success. See, that there's a caveat to have being a survivor is you've got to know the word of God. You've just got to know it. Somebody said, when you're in a crisis, go get the dirtiest book in your house and start reading it. It's this book. It's dirty because nobody's picking it up and reading it anymore. You have to know the Word of God. What does it say? Where's your go-to scripture? Do you have a go-to scripture that you just go to it and it's the first place you go? I do. My go-to scripture is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will. And where it says direct your path, I say He'll take care of this situation. I go through that scripture every week. There's not a week that goes by, virtually not a day that goes by, that I don't use that scripture in my life. But I had to memorize it. It didn't just float out of the air and come into my brain. I had to dig it out. The little books of the Bible, Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, those little books, Colossians, you ought to be spending your life in those books. They are filled with pregnant words and phrases and paragraphs that will strengthen you in your life. They're filled with ideas and thoughts that when you get them down, when they mean something to you. I've said this before, and I don't mean it to be speak derogatorily about anyone, but reading through the Bible is a good challenge. I mean, if you can do it, that's great. It's not going to do you a whole lot of good because it's too much information. It's like trying to get a drink out of a fire hydrant. You're not going to get weapons. You're not going to get a good drink. What you need is a good, cool glass of water. And those little books are good, cool glasses of water that will nourish you, quench your thirst, and teach you things. Spend time in those books, reading them over and over and over again, and let them speak to your heart and speak to your spirit. Joshua had to learn to be a survivor before he could take his rightful place. In order for you to fulfill God's plan for your life, you got to survive the hardships of life. You can't crash and burn. You got to get up. The scripture says, David said, "Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. Though I stumble and fall, I shall arise." Tell it to the devil. Rejoice not over me. I may be flat on my face or on my posterior. The bank account's empty. I'm sick. I just got a bad diagnosis from the doctor. But I believe God. Rejoice not over me, my enemies. Though I stumble and though I fall, I shall arise. That'll build you up on your faith. And one of the things you can do with the scriptures that'll help you to be with your resolve is to repeat it to yourself over and over and over, over again until it takes root within you. I've told a story about a scripture that healed my back, where I literally couldn't get out of the bed. I couldn't move. Couldn't find a place where pain would go away. And I was reading a little handbook of scriptures to help you in life, and they had a one on healing, and the one on healing was for the law of the Spirit of Christ, of life in Christ Jesus, has set me free from the law of sin and death. And I thought, that is a weird scripture for healing. And I kept going over it and over it and over it. I was laying in the bed and just reading it and reading it and taking each word and parsing each word, putting it together in little bites. And I did it for, I don't know, hours. And then one thing, and the light dawned on me, that being set from the law of sin and death includes all sicknesses and all diseases. I said, God will set me free from this. And that scripture took root within me, and I was able to get out of that bed and walk and never been back to a doctor for a back problem again. That's been 40 years, 30 years, something like that. See what the Word of God can do for you? Just a little snippet will help you. So you become a survivor. I couldn't do what I'm doing today if I had not learned that scripture and applied it in faith with God to be able to walk. I've got to be pain-free to do what I do. I can deal with a little pain, but I got to be able to walk. At least. I guess I could have done it from a wheelchair, but I didn't have to, thank the Lord. David Jeremiah was said this morning on his TV program. He said that he had reached a place where he was afraid to fly. And he went to the scriptures. And the scriptures reminded him that God would keep him alive as long as he had a purpose for him. And when the purpose was over, he'd be a gone but gone. That's my word. He didn't use that word. But he said he took away the fear of flying from him. He said, if the plane goes down, I know I'm finished. If it doesn't, I got some more stuff to do. So help you overcome your fears, you know, knowing that God's working in your life. Joshua had to see himself as a new Moses. Sometimes you got to see yourself different than you are. Stop having a bad image of yourself. You know, maybe your parents, your husband, wife, kids, you know, your boss on the job, they make you think that you're a dumb, never get anything done. Get over that. See yourself as a mighty warrior for God and things that God can use you for. If you see yourself as a Joshua or a Moses, you'll be able to do some of the stuff that Joshua and Moses did. They'll tell them what you could do. But look what Billy Graham did. Just a little old country boy. Changed the world. It happens. God's people learning to survive. You can change into your survival. You can change into your survival. I don't know what's going on in your life, but whatever it is, change it to letting you be a survivor. Prosperity and success are prizes that are given to survivors. Being an overcomer. Being courageous. Just take these scriptures. You got your little notes? Just go over these scriptures this week and see if they won't encourage you. And just do what I do. Just take them word by word. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. What does that mean? Just think about it. What does that mean? You know what I mean? I'll tell you what it means to me. I mean, you're speaking it. You're saying it. You see, the best person you can speak to is yourself. Seriously. You know, say it to yourself. Meditate on it. Day and night. Think about it. Just go, let it go over. See what I'm saying? Just take it a little piece at a time and think about it and watch how the difference it'll do in your life. Be strong. Be courageous. Have plans. Have resolve. You will not live under the foot of the devil. You will not live under the change that comes into your life that's taking your strength away. You might have to live with the reality of change, but you can be victorious in the midst of the change. Amen?
Amen.
Next week, I'm going to turn the tide a little bit. It'll be the last sermon in this little mini-series. What I want to talk now, I've talked to you about the living with the change. I want to talk to you about what it's like to live with the new beginning, with the victorious portion of this, all right? So that's on my schedule for next week. So what we're going to do, Jim found a little last video that we're going to close with. And it's a song. So we can all stand and we're going to sing along with this song because it's, I believe it'll encourage you. Jim, crank it up.
You go.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's it. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. That was our dismissal prayer. Be strong. Be courageous wherever you go. If you need prayer and I can help you in any way, I'll be up here. Be glad to do it. In Jesus' name. Amen.